Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. It's that time of year. It's time to break out the creche, get the figures in place. You know, that's the tradition I grew up in. I know we're a little sooner here, but we got the creche out. It's set up, ready to roll. In my family, it was always someone's tradition to get chosen to set the creche up. Once we kids got old enough, and my mother trusted us with the porcelain creche, of course. And it was always an honor because you got to arrange the figures, you know. You got to arrange where Mary and Joseph and the baby went, where the angels were, where eventually the wise men would end up, because we started them around and marched the wise men around so they traveled till they got there on January 6th in my hometown. So, but it was always traditional that you had the baby Jesus, Mary, and Joseph standing behind. Here I notice we got Joseph kind of about equal, and I'm glad to hear that. Because we need to pull Joseph. That's my tradition. You remember last year I said we need to add John the Baptist to our creche. We need this year to take Joseph out and stick him out front. Because I think there's something to be learned from Joseph for all of us living in the 21st century. I think he's a very interesting character. What little we know about him that I think makes sense to how we live today. You see, Joseph is normally portrayed as an old gray-haired bearded man running around, you know, kind of half feeble. Well, let me tell you how he got to be that way. In the early church, from West we know, men and women sort of shared more of the responsibilities that became true later on. When the church became part of the Roman Empire, which it officially began in 3-something A.D., 360 A.D. or so, the church kind of conformed to the traditions of society, of Roman society, which was more of a male-oriented that way kind of a society, as opposed to the Greek society that the Romans had supplanted, which were more men and women kind of shared different responsibilities. So women were no longer, as best we could tell, at somewhere along that point, allowed to be serving in church and doing certain things. And so to compensate it, over the next 4 or 5 centuries, the whole idea of Mary began to be elevated and elevated in the church. And eventually Mary got these titles like Ever Virgin, Assumed into Heaven, all the things that some of our brothers and sisters in the Roman Catholic tradition hold to be dear to them. And to do so, they pretty much had to push Joseph to the background. You know, if Mary was ever virgin, you had a problem because they were married. So you made Joseph an old man, so he lost his virility right off the bat. You made him old because that way he didn't have any other children, and he kind of explained away all those other children that show up in the Bible. And yes, there are brothers and sisters of Jesus mentioned in the Bible. And you made him old, so that may explain how come he disappears from the story. We don't know that. The Bible presents Joseph as a dynamic man. Of whatever age we are, we don't know. A very, very person who was active and so forth. And according to the Bible, apparently had children. Had relations with Mary and eventually had children. That's the way the Bible presents it. Argue with the Bible if you don't like that. So Joseph is not someone we need to slide behind, turn into an old, hardly able to stand up man in the background. Let him speak. And if Joseph speaks, he tells an interesting story. For you see, Joseph is presented as a very righteous person, a person very much willing to do the right thing. He does in every story in which he's included in the Bible. And even his namesake, Joseph, in the Old Testament, despite his pride and all, eventually always gets around to doing the right kind of thing. Joseph had the right, once Mary was discovered to be pregnant, because betrothal was actually a legally binding agreement in the times of Jesus. More so than marriage. That's why you don't hear about wedding ceremonies much in Jesus' time. As much as you hear about betrothal and then moving into the celebration of the wedding and the great celebration with it. Because it was legally binding. Two families joined together. Usually there was an exchange of money or gifts, that kind of thing we still know about in certain parts of the world, for the woman to be exchanged from her father to her husband. Sorry, ladies, that's just the way they did it. I'm not advocating it, just to tell them the story. And so Joseph could have literally had Mary publicly disgraced, beaten, possibly even put to death after the child was born, I assume, we don't know, because she had broken the law, the covenant, the agreement, legally binding these two families. But notice Joseph is not willing to do that. As shocked as he must have been, as troubled as he must have been to find Mary about to become his wife, betrothed, they were about to join together. They started living together before they were married in those days after they were betrothed. That was the custom. With child. But rather than do that, he's just going to put her aside silent. In other words, he puts his pride down and cares about how Mary's going to be perceived, what's going to happen to her. If he takes her out and shows it publicly, which he had the right to do, this woman, so like the old A, the scarlet A from Hawthorne, you know, story, kind of show her off publicly as an adulteress, she would be marked the rest of her life, if not physically, at least in her community. But he's willing to put her aside because he cares about her. Despite the hurt that he's felt, he puts doing the right thing ahead of what is expedient or what his emotions probably were raging in him to do. That's one of the lessons from Joseph I want to hold before us. Male and female. As guys, yeah, and females too. But sometimes doing the right thing is more important than doing the thing that makes you feel the best. Secondly, Joseph gets the word of God in a dream, and he doesn't. I'm glad God didn't do that to me, because I'm not sure I would believe what I hear in a dream, you know? I've had some dreams over the years, but I don't take them too literally, you know? And I don't think many of us do. But Joseph somehow, despite all that he was going through, was being open to hearing what God had to say. It was a dream, however it was a dream, you can interpret that as you like. I think he literally had a dream, because he has a couple of humdingers in the scriptures, you know. And he goes, despite his better judgment probably at the time and his training in his society, he follows the new course that God has set before him. Not the one expected of a male at his time, but he is willing to accept this and carries on. Joseph and Mary, however they started their relationship, by the time Jesus becomes a young man, Joseph disappears. Another one of those reasons they probably make him old. We don't know. All we know is he's there when Jesus is 12 at the temple. By the time Jesus starts his public ministry, he's not there. Probably not dead long, because people still say, aren't you Joseph's son? Aren't you Joshua bar Joseph? Literally in the Bible, that's what the little one would be, the people around him. So he must have been around for at least part of the time. Must have been some influence on Jesus, because Jesus apparently took up the same kind of tradesman that his father had been. So he must have been a good parent, from best we can know. And he must have been willing to accept Jesus as his own lineage. Swallowed his pride, moved where God told him. But Joseph also developed this really unique working relationship with Mary that I'd like to lift before us in the 21st century world. They share responsibilities. In the story here, Joseph is the one that steps forward and does the things. Usually about the Christmas time story, we kind of think of Mary because she's the one treasuring her heart. She's the one that sings the song. When Jesus goes to the temple, Jesus also seems to be under Mary, because Mary's the one that drags everyone back to find Jesus in the temple. But Joseph, in between, has this dream again. And God tells them, flee to Egypt. You're about to become a wandering alien immigrant into Egypt. And he probably went, what? Because that's the last thing he expected to do. And yet he picks up his family on that and leads them. Notice that sometimes Mary kind of takes the lead, sometimes Joseph takes the lead. And together, they give Jesus the kind of background and family home that he needs. And they are open to God's will. Joseph is a remarkable character to me because he takes the traditions of the old. In fact, many scholars consider him to be the last of the Old Testament. Prophets, proclaimers, whatever. By his willingness to follow the law, as best he knows it, and traditions, he takes that. But what's remarkable is he's not bound by it. He's also willing to hear a new word from God, a new way of doing things. And by so doing, he takes the traditions of the old, brings them into the present, and opens us up to the future. This is the model I think we need to have before us in the 21st century. You know, there are things we need to preserve. Things like justice and doing the right thing and not giving in to our emotional urges is something we need to hear again and to pass along to generations that will follow us by our own examples, as Joseph did. But not always doing that which is expedient or doing that which we feel like doing, but doing that which we think is right that has been passed on to us by those who went before us. But I think also, like Joseph, we not to be bound by the past. For we know that throughout Scripture, God always says, we've always done it that way. No. He always says, behold, I make something new. In other words, God always takes the past and makes it into something special as we go forward. It's always slightly different than what God has done in the past. So it means that you and I, whatever ages, whatever backgrounds, whatever we come from, yes, we need to honor those traditions that are passed to us in their essence, but also be open to new ways that God is speaking now to make those same principles carry into new circumstances, into new things that God is driving. Joseph is very much the very person we need as the year 2020 rushes upon us, to be able to hold those values and yet hold an openness to new things and hold that tension together. To me, Mary and Joseph also remind me of Martin and Katie Luther, who I mentioned earlier. Remarkable if you study the relationship between the two of them. It started out as an arranged marriage, and really there's no indication they really loved each other early on. You know, that's not the way it was done. She had to find a husband. She insisted on Luther. She was stubborn, and Luther gave in. Basically, that's how they got together. But they grew into a great partnership. Because Martin Luther was terrible at things like finances and organization. So guess who cracked the whip to keep Luther in line? You know, we probably wouldn't have had a Reformation without Katie Luther, because Luther never probably would have gotten anything done. And Luther also enjoyed Katie's beer, so that also helped make it good. That's one reason. But they developed that kind of unique partnership where each used each other's strength and found that right balance. And what was the Reformation about? Taking the traditions of the past, not being bound to them, but finding a new interpretation, a new way to use them to recapture what God was moving the church and the world into. So today, when you go home, if you've not put your creche up and you're about to do it, grab your Joseph and don't stick him behind everyone else. Put him out front. And let it be a reminder to us that we also are called to carry on, to preserve, to live out the righteousness, the doing the right thing, but also the openness to hear God's calling to do the right thing in a new situation. Because like Joseph, God, Emmanuel, comes through us to the world. And if we can keep that balance together, we can help this crazy world we live in find ways to move from the past into the present, into whatever future God guides. Amen.